kind of, I'd say it's a little quiet. It doesn't scream out at you as much as some things, but I think if you can grasp this, and by the way, this series I'll be going into is, and we're going to be Genesis chapter 9, by the way. This series on covenants in the Bible will not be as much preaching as I usually do and make a decision, do this and that. I think this is more of growing grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It'll help you understand the whole Bible. It'll be somewhat practical. I think the truth will be, but I think in fixing your thinking more than I'm going to give this up and change this. Genesis chapter 9, and the word covenant, you'd call it an agreement, and it can be a lot of different ways. And I mean, tonight we're just gonna ask, what is a covenant? And just gonna give you the foundation of that. And a covenant in the Bible is an agreement, and it can be very powerful, very binding. It's a lot of different variables in a covenant, but to God, it's very important. And so in Genesis chapter 9, in verse 1, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, and all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all that the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even every green herb that I have given you all things. But flesh and the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, ye shall not eat. And surely your blood and your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall there be any more flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This shall be a token of the covenant which I make between me and you, and of every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow that shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it. And I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth." All right, we're going to pray and talk about what is a covenant. Father, I pray that now you'd help us to understand that the covenants of the Bible, Lord, it's literally the Bible is broken up into covenants, Father, and it's a lot of the basis of what's happening. And Lord, it's a little deeper. It's a little things that aren't quite right on the surface. We see the word once in a while, and we see you working within a covenant and you not doing certain things because of a covenant. But the first few times somebody reads their Bible through, they might not see the establishment of covenants and how that you work through them. But I pray tonight as we delve into this over the next few weeks or however long it takes, Lord, you would guide us and give us insights because you think it's important, Father, in your word. And I pray that we'd see what a covenant is and how it applies to us and what we should grasp in covenants, Father, and work powerfully and give us your wisdom and your power. May the scripture speak to us in a real and personal way. And I just ask you to control and speak through me now and teach us, Lord, your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we see this agreement here between God and Noah and God and the whole earth and all the creatures of the earth. And it's an agreement that God makes with them. And he says, I'm going to seal this covenant with a rainbow. I just want to give you a few points on covenants and maybe help you understand them in the Bible. Because the Bible is broken up into covenants. There's a covenant here, there's a covenant here, and a covenant here. And you'll see God working. And sometimes people don't understand why is God working this way. But God put himself underneath a covenant. And so he's working in that process right there. He's underneath the covenant that he made, and God works through these covenants, these agreements that he makes with people, and they're very strong and they're very important in the Bible. Let me just give you a few points. First of all, a covenant can be either one-sided or two-sided. A covenant can be either one-sided or two-sided. For example, in this passage here, Noah did not make a covenant with God. God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you and with all flesh and with the world, and I'm not going to flood the world ever again. I'm making a covenant with you, Noah. And a covenant can be one-sided. A deal, an agreement can be one-sided. I can say, you know what? I can walk up and I can say, okay, Travis, I'm going to be your friend no matter what. Now, he might not make any kind of covenant back toward me. But if I say that, then I'm going to do that because I made a covenant. Now, good covenants are two-way covenants. But they aren't always that way. Sometimes you have somebody make a covenant marriage, and the other person, it doesn't mean the covenant as serious as they do. Sometimes you have somebody who makes a covenant to church, and the church makes a covenant to them, and it's a one-sided thing. Sometimes, hey, listen, Jesus made a covenant to us all the time, and we don't keep our side. And God says, I'm going to make a covenant with the whole world, and I will never flood it again with water. He's going to flood with fire next time, but he says, I'll never bring water upon the earth and flood the world, and I'm going to have a covenant with you. But you will see covenants. Go to Genesis chapter 17. You'll see a two-way covenant. In Genesis chapter 17, and verse 6, it says, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Amazing thing here, God right there started this covenant, and it's a huge covenant. One of the biggest covenants in the history of the world is God speaking to Abraham right here. He says, I'm making a covenant to you, Abraham, to you and your seed after you, and I will forever have a covenant with your seed. You know how powerful that covenant is? Do you know that covenant is still in action today? Otherwise, there's no Israel. Literally, you mess with Israel today, God says, I made a covenant with them. Do they love God? Have they rejected God? Yes. But God said, I made a covenant. God's covenant is a big covenant. He says, I'm making an everlasting covenant with you, Abraham. And he made a covenant with them. But he asked Abraham to do something back. Verse 8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man, child among you shall be circumcised. So God says, I have a covenant with you, and your covenant with me is you're going to circumcise your children, and that'll enter into the covenant with me. And when they're circumcised, that means they've entered into the covenant, and you're going to start this with your children, and you will enter into covenant. So you're going to do your part, and that's saying we are part of that covenant, and I will do my part. So it's a two-sided covenant. And that's the way God works it. And most of the covenants in the Bible, God asks something. And it's just like a contract. The guy says, you know what? I will pay you $5,000 if you will build this shed. And you say, okay, I will give you the $5,000. That's a two-sided contract. Somebody else says, I will build a shed for absolutely nothing. I'm just going to come and build a shed for you. That's a one-sided contract. In the Bible, there's both of those things, and we see them in the Bible. Israel was told to make a commitment with God. If you go to Exodus, God went in Exodus, and we'll get into all this a whole bunch more. We're just skimming the surface here. But God's going to come to Israel, and he says, Israel, listen to me. Here is the deal. I will do this and this and this and this and this for you. I want you to be my people. I will be your God. Now, he already made a certain type of covenant with Israel, but now he's going to expand it to Abraham. Now he's going to expand it to Israel, and he's going to make a covenant that has them under contract to do their part. And God says, you don't do your part in my contract, I'm not going to do my part. As a matter of fact, in my covenant is built in stipulations. And if you do this, then I'm going to do this because you did this. And so it's built in there that they can do this and God can do this. And he says, okay, here it is. I will do this for you. Do you want it? And God asked them, do you want to make a covenant with me in this chapter of, in this Genesis, or in Exodus, sorry, chapter 19. And, in verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and in a holy nation. These are the words which I shall speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of Israel and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord commanded them. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words unto the people of the people of the Lord. So God says, I'm going to give you a covenant offer, and if you want to do that, Moses, take this down to them, ask them if they want to do this deal with me, and if they don't want to do it, then they're... But if they want to do it, then this nation, I will stick with this nation and bless them and take them in the promised land, and I will do that with them. And so God says, I want to make a covenant, and they said, do you want this covenant? And so they got to answer the deal there. And so we see that covenants can go either one person or two persons. Number two, the Lord will sometimes make a covenant with those he chooses out and that please him. Let's go back to Genesis 8. God will sometimes make a covenant with those he chooses out and with those that please him. Sometimes God just goes out and says, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I like you, and I'm going to make a deal with you, and you're going to be blessed and used by me. Not everybody gets that privilege, but those who please him, sometimes God just comes to somebody, and it's very deep and it's very profound, but sometimes God will just come to you and say, I like it. I like you. I've chosen you. I'm going to make a deal with you. He does that we see the covenant of Noah, but if you see, it doesn't just happen randomly. And if you go back in this covenant with Noah in Genesis and chapter 8, you see we read chapter 9 and all that God did there, but look at verse 20. They just get out of the ark, and verse 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. It's the same thing with Abraham. Abraham left his family and did what he's supposed to do. And God said, I like you. I'm going to make a deal with you. I want to enter into a covenant with you. And that's a lot of things in life. That's what marriage is. Marriage is saying, you are the kind of person that I'd like to enter into a covenant with. If you've dealt with business and you've been a person who's signed contracts and made deals with people and work with people, I mean, some of you have only been paid and you punch in and punch out. But if you do business, you understand you don't want to enter into a contract with everybody. Some people, no matter how good it looks, they're just going to give you problems. And God says, I want to enter into contact with you, Abraham. Noah, you took the time after you got out of the ark and got some more animals and you sat down and sacrificed and said, thank you, Lord, for saving mankind alive. And God says, you know what? I'm not going to destroy the earth anymore. I make you a promise. I'm going to make a rainbow to show that. And the Lord sometimes makes a covenant with those that he chooses out and they please him. Number three, the Lord's covenants can be a blessing and benefit for those who follow forever. Understand, when God brings a covenant, sometimes what he does is he comes in and says, I'm going to make a covenant with you, but I'm not only going to bless you. I'm going to bless the ones after you and 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 after you. I'm going to bless your whole family forever. By the way, you can also bring a curse on your family for generations. It is so amazing when you can get in the presence of God and God says, a Bible says a good man is blessed and his children are blessed after him. And God says, when I enter into covenant, I can bless you for a real long time. Go back to Genesis. And again, we're just doing the foundation here, so we're in Genesis a lot. We'll move around a little bit, but Genesis chapter 12. God makes his covenant with Abraham, probably the most important covenant outside salvation in the Bible. Well, I guess the Noah covenant was pretty important because Abraham wouldn't have been there. Then this huge Abrahamic covenant, he makes covenants with Abraham, makes a covenant with Isaac, he makes covenants with Jacob and Israel, he makes covenants with David. He makes a lot of covenants in the Bible, and they're different, and they're very especially each person. But the people after them can be blessed because God made a covenant with them. Chapter 12 of Genesis, it says, For the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I'll bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That was the Messiah coming. And so we see that. If you go forward to chapter 13, and God reinstates this covenant and adds to it with Abraham. And verse 14, it says, The Lord said unto Abraham, After that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look at the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it unto thy seed forever and ever. And I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth, and it, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the field, and the length and the breadth of it, I will give it unto thee. Okay, so far, God's making several things in his covenant with Abraham. Who can name some things they've read just so far with Abraham? Anybody? Really obvious. There's nothing hidden there. Brian? Okay. Anybody else? Lots of them. Tyler? Land? Okay. Matthew? Okay, lots of descendants. Anybody else? There's lots of things in here, and there's lots of things God's making a covenant. We'll read some more, and you'll just see that in chapter 15 and verse 3. And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, I am born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell me the stars, if thou wilt be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted unto him for righteousness. And I am the Lord that brought thee out of the earth of the Chaldees. Unto thee I give this land, and thou shalt inherit it. Israel, the land they're on right now, and a lot bigger than that. It's going to be all the way through Jordan. It's way bigger than that. That land, it didn't matter that Israel, for 2,000 years, were not in their land. They were scattered. They were going to come back to that land. And they'll have it forever. They have to. God made a covenant. And God does that. And God said, I'll do that. And so the Lord says, you're going to be blessed. Your seed is going to be blessed after you. And I'm going to bless those that bless you. And your descendants, those that bless your descendants will be blessed. Listen, those that hate Israel the worst, even today. You know what nations hate Israel the worst? Look at their land. Poverty-stricken sand. Oh, man, those mullahs or those shahs are all very rich. Yes, there are 30 rich people in that country. And the rest walk behind camels. And you can't eat sand. And they're poverty-stricken. And there's nothing in the land except for oil. If oil goes away, they're really starving. It's cursed land. It's cursed. And what nation supports Israel the most in the world? America. What's the richest nation in the history of the world? America. It's still true. God said, I made a covenant. I'm going to bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. Antichrist will take over, and he'll take over in the world and bring peace, but he's going to go after Israel, and guess what? His kingdom comes to an end. God says, I'll bless them that bless you and curse those that curse you. Israel is still there until they disappeared and were scattered and weren't a nation. No nation has ever done that. When you scatter people, they mix and marry, and pretty soon you have no race anymore. Israel is scattered everywhere. Their worst enemies were on their land, and somehow they're back in that land today because God made a covenant. Number four, the Lord keeps his covenants. The Lord keeps his covenants. There's a lot of verses we could read on this, but let me just take you to Psalms. You can look around and see God keeps his covenant because Israel's a nation. Psalms 105, when they should not be a nation, no nation's done what they've done, but God made a covenant with them. Psalms 105, verse 8. And he remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath with Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved the kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, nor do my prophets any harm. And he called for a famine, and he brought Israel. And he goes on the line and says, God remembered his covenant and kept his covenant with them, even though they were in Egypt. Didn't matter where they went. He says, my covenant is with you. And I remember my covenant. I keep my covenants. God is a covenant keeper. Praise God, because you know what? Salvation is a covenant. I'm sure God didn't say, you know what? I'm sick of you. I'm breaking my deal with you. God can't. It's impossible for God to lie. And God said, you will have eternal life. Thank God, God keeps covenants. You'll find out in life, you haven't yet, when people break their covenant with you, it's very hurtful and very frustrating. And it really messes you up. Psalms, just another verse, Psalms 111. There's lots of verses we could read, but you see, God keeps his covenant. Psalms chapter 111, verse 5. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Very, very sad, very funny passage of the Bible at the same time. But if you ever watch, if you ever read in Exodus 32 and 33, where God says, you know what? I'm sick of these people. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to destroy all of Israel. And how would Moses stand in front of God and say, you cannot kill Israel? You know what he did when he did that? He said, you made a covenant with them. See, Moses wasn't quite as brave as we think. He knew God made a promise. And he said, you know what, God? You can't do it. You've said you would leave them and make them as the sand of the sea. You can't destroy them like that. God said, okay. All right, I won't destroy them all today. God knew his covenant. And we'll get to that. God wanted to be reminded of his covenant. And a lot more in that. Sometimes God keeps his covenant even to his own detriment, like any person does. If a good business says, I'm going to build this deck on your house for $2,000. Sign the contract, person pays you $2,000, and they start building, and guess what? It takes more wood than they thought. You know what a good company does? What does a good company do? They eat it. They call it. I made a deal. I'm going to build a house for the thing for $2,000. You may go, it might be okay to go and say, you know what, hey, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do, but the price of wood since I started this thing has doubled, and I'm going to lose $500. I want to ask you to pay me $20. You can do that. That's not unethical, but if they say no, here's a contract, you say, okay, I'm building it. And not be angry about it. Because you made a covenant. Your word's very important. And when you make a deal with somebody, you stick with it. That's in business. That's in marriage. Well, I know, but you know what? They haven't been a good husband. They haven't been a good wife. And what did you say at the altar? For better, for worse? Well, I crossed my fingers. Doesn't matter. You made a covenant. And you said, for better, for worse, till death do us part. Well, it wasn't like I dreamed it would be, and she isn't as wonderful as I thought she'd be, and she's a lot more than she used to be, and he's not quite like he used to be, and you know what? They're not nice, and he hasn't done his job, and you made a covenant. Better be real careful before you get married. Better make sure you're getting married, because you make a covenant, and you're going to stick with it better for worse. What if they're paralyzed? In my premarital counseling, I don't do a lot of weddings. My premarital counseling scares him off. I just go through the scenarios. What if he becomes an alcoholic and beats you? Well, I'm leaving him. Not biblical. What if she gains 350 pounds? What are you going to do? What if he's mean to you? What if he's a terrible dad? I'm not going to hang around a man who's a terrible dad. You made a covenant. Well, that's not right. If you make a deal, but they aren't nice, better have they written the covenant. If I go in and say, you know what, I want you to build this light rail for me, and if you are not done in 2 years, then I can break the contract. That's fine. It's written in the contract. That's part of the covenant. And God did that with Israel. God said, I'm going to bless you and work in your nation. I'm going to make you a mighty nation, a peculiar treasure. You're going to be awesome, wonderful, great, happy. Everything's going to be great. But if you mess around and worship other gods, I'm sending you into bondage. I'm destroying you. And then they went and said, I'm going to go do idols. And God said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Prophets, go remind them of my covenant. Tell them the covenant again. You said that you would not go into idolatry. I would be your only God. And if you do, I'm going to destroy you. And they said, oh, it's going to be fine. And the false prophet said, no, everything's going to be fine. Peace, peace. And the prophet said, you're talking about God here. God said he will destroy you and send you into bondage. Oh, no, we are secure. Our neighbors are, we're powerful. We'll never fall. Everything's fine. God said in his covenant that if you go in idolatry, God doesn't lie. Remember that in life. God keeps his covenant. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Oh, no, I'll get away with it. I got a great plan. You're wrong. God doesn't break his covenant. If he says you're going to reap what you sow, you're going to reap what you sow. Doesn't matter if you believe it. Doesn't matter if you've got a great plan. Doesn't matter if you put a gigantic fence with barbed wire and electric wire and put everything around you you want to try to protect you. It's coming. God keeps his covenant. If he says, I'm going to do something, I'm going to do something. That is what good people do. My word is my bond. I said I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. I made a covenant. God keeps his covenant. I wonder how good we are at keeping our covenant. Next, the Lord's blessings are on those who keep a covenant with him. Let's go back to Exodus 19. The Lord's blessings are on those who keep a covenant with God. God expects you, and he holds you to your word. You said you're going to do this? Okay, I'm waiting for it. Oh, I didn't really mean it, God. You meant it. You said it. But I crossed my fingers. Doesn't matter. You made a covenant with God. And God says, I'm going to bless you if you keep my covenant. And this is Exodus 19, verse 5. There, now, therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. If you go to Psalms, let's go to Psalms chapter 25. God says, I bless those who keep my covenant. I want to make a great deal with you, and I'm going to bless you. It's good doing business with God. Psalms 25. Unto all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Those who keep God's covenant is mercy and truth to those who keep his covenant. Psalms 103, verse 17. But mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. That's three generations. Very important. To such as keep his commandment, to those who remember his commandments, his covenant. Those who keep his covenant, and those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord's blessing on those who keep a covenant. It's a different lesson, but I can't help myself for a sec here. A lot of people, okay, I go out and I say, Travis, I'm going to make a covenant with you tonight. You know what? I am going to wash your car every week, and all you have to do is go over and shine my shoes every week. Deal? Okay, we got a deal. Okay, I made a covenant with him. And all of a sudden, in the middle of that deal, he's supposed to do what? Shine my shoes. I'm supposed to do what? Okay, but all of a sudden, here comes Jess and parks his car in my driveway. Jess says, hey, you're going to wash my car? I'm washing your car. Why? Well, you're doing it for Travis? I didn't make a covenant with you. You didn't shine my shoes. Get here. Didn't shine my shoes. I didn't make that deal with you. Now, if he shined my shoes, if I said, anybody who shines my shoes, I'll wash their car, he can come join that. God does that. You know what the problem is? This is so important in the Bible. This is so important, you understanding why prayers don't get answered, why God doesn't answer your prayers, why God doesn't bless you sometimes, why God doesn't work in your life sometimes. Because you are asking for God to fulfill a covenant, and you aren't entering into the covenant. People think they're going to get to heaven. Because they're a good person. God says, that's not my covenant with you. I didn't make that deal with you. You're not coming to heaven. You want to enter a covenant with me? Believe in my son. Many people don't realize they've not entered into the covenants of God. He says, those that keep my covenant, I'm going to bless them. But if you just go up and say, God, I want you to do this. And it seems like you should do this because you did it for Pastor, or you did it for the Huggins, or you did it for Jess. And you need to do that for me. And God says, wait a minute, I did that for a reason. I'm going to deal with them. I'm not going to wash your car because you just walked up and shoved your car in my driveway. And many people walk up and say, God, do this. And God says, what? I didn't make that deal with you. You're not doing your part. Well, you went and you built this for them. You built them a deck. Build me a deck. Okay, I charge them $2,000. Well, no. Just build me a deck. I just want the deck. I want a deck like theirs. It's not fair you give them a deck and don't give me a deck. It's very fair. They're in a covenant with me. They paid me. We signed a contract. Many people, and it's a lot of the Bible, are coming to God and say, God, why are you sending us into bondage? It is not fair you sent us into captivity. And God says, yes, it is. We had a contract for that. I keep my contracts. You need to know the covenants of the Bible because you understand God works through these things. And you got to go into God's deal. And don't expect God to do what he did for somebody else who entered into a covenant with him and did what he said he was going to do in the Bible. This book is called A Thing Full of Covenants. He calls the New Testament the New Covenant. It's a bunch of deals that God makes, and it's sometimes a one-way and it's sometimes a two-way, and don't expect God to do what he does on his side if you don't keep your side of the contract. If you said you're going to pay and go out, and all of a sudden you say, I'm going to pay you $3,000 for this thing, and all of a sudden the job gets done and says $3,000. You say, you know what? I don't really like it. I don't really want to pay you. I'm not going to pay you. Calls a month later. Hey, I want you to come and build me an addition to my house in a new bedroom. How about $3,000? No. I'll pay you afterward. Well, let's get the $2,000 out of the way first, and we'll go to the next job. I want you to keep your covenant with me. Many people don't get blessed because they are not keeping God's covenant with them. I don't want you this week, while you're trying to figure this out, to go out and all of a sudden say, okay, God, I got a deal. If you will go and give me winning lottery numbers, I will tithe from now. Don't do that, okay? Don't try to make a covenant with God that you don't know what you're doing, okay? God usually comes to the covenant. He came to Abraham. He came to Moses. He came to David. He said, I got a covenant with you because you deserve it, and I want to be in business with you. I want to work with you. But the covenants you do make in life, make sure you do keep them. And find out what God's covenants in the Bible, because this book is full of obvious covenants that you can keep. God says, if you do this, I will do this. And just the last thing is, some covenants are conditional and some are not. And we've read all the scriptures I'd read you already read. You ready? If God was going to flood the world, it would have been flooded by now. The covenant of the rainbow is not conditional. Doesn't matter how bad the world gets, God will not flood the world again. It's an unconditional covenant. Thank God. Because you know what? This world deserves flooded again. It passed that thing about 25 years ago where it's a goal, you know, hey, let's make Seattle everywhere for about 25 days and just get rid of everything. Rain and rain and rain. God says, I'm not going to do that. I've said it. By the way, salvation is a finished covenant. You don't find the verses that say, okay, I will save you, but. No, you don't find that. He says, no matter how much it bothers me that I made this cut. How many of you have ever been in a deal, you said you're going to do something, and you finish it through, but it drove you crazy, and it was wrong to finish that thing through, but you did it anyway. I mean, it shouldn't. You were ripped off. A lot of us. You know what? God does that sometimes. He says, you know what? Oh, buddy, I'm taking you to heaven, but it's going to be hot when you get here. And God looks at the world and says, oh, man, you are so lucky that rainbow was there. That rainbow weren't there, guys, it'd be a whole bunch more floods. God's covenant sometimes are unconditional. It's amazing. By the way, amazing that he's kept his covenant with Israel. Read Judges. And you realize God's covenant, but sometimes they're very conditional. Sometimes God says, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. If. There's a lot of ifs in covenants. And God is not obligated to do something if he put a stipulation. If you do this, I will do this. That's why God makes some covenants. Read your Bible, and here's the great thing. Many people do not get great blessings and power and God's covenants working because they don't know how to get under the covenant. What's God's condition? You have a concordance you can look up this week and say, what covenants can I get into? And by the way, all the covenants you keep, you get, you keep. Be like God, be a covenant keeper. All right, we're going to bow for prayer, and let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word and all it teaches on covenants. Lord, there's a lot of truth in there. And Lord, there's a lot of studying to do and a lot to look into, Lord. Your word is a lot about this, and I pray we'd grasp some deeper truth of the Bible, Lord, and understand what's really happening on the surface is part of because of the covenant that was made sometimes a thousand years before, Father, and help us to grasp all that's happening. Help us to understand the depth of your word and to get covenants, Lord, and understand what they mean, that some are conditional and some aren't. And Lord, help us to get into some good covenants with you, Lord, and also help us be very careful that we keep the covenants that we make.